a big, big fire. You could see it from the top of the hill near the castle of the Pirates. It wasn't the castle. Everybody came out of their house because they saw this big fire. And some people say, you know what a lightning storm is? Who knows what a lightning storm is? All of a sudden, a big lightning, bang! Ooh, look at the sky, a big lightning, one time. Ooh, yeah, yeah. You can even make a bracha on lightning. All of a sudden, out of the window, a big lightning again. Ooh, a second big lightning, like a big fire coming out of the sky. And thunder, all of a sudden, a third time, bang, a big lightning. And that's when the fire started. Maybe it started from that lightning. And it hit the big barn of the Pirates where he keeps the 1,000 cows. And there was a big fire in the barn. And by the time the people can get up there with the water, climbing up the hill, taking the water to put out the fire, the whole barn burned to the ground. And the cows were trapped inside of the big barn. Yosef, don't you have cows that are kept in that barn? Yes, I have 10 cows. Well, it seems that all the cows were burned up in the big fire. Not just barbecued. Oh yes, it is fleishiks today. We don't want to burn your flesh, but you know, this kind of flesh that you're eating, which is from cow meat, well, those 1,000 cows, there was a gigantic big barbecue, but more than a barbecue, it got overdone. It wasn't medium or well done. It was really just absolutely, completely burned. 1,000 cows. All the cows in the whole area finished. That means no more milk. Where will we have milk from? Oh, those cows gave delicious milk. And the cows were giving so much milk lately. It was just so interesting how the milk was getting cheaper and cheaper and better, and now all of a sudden, no more cows. Oh, how will we have milk and cheese and all the good stuff? And Yosef, we feel so bad for you. You were making a living from those cows, and now no more cows. Well, Yosef thought to himself, "Oi, very interesting. I come back, and not only I don't have a way to make money, I don't have cows anymore." Well, Kenelach Yosef is thinking about what happened, and all of a sudden, he gets near his house. He says, "Look in my yard. Look what I see in my yard." He rubs his eyes. He can't believe it. His 10 cows are in his yard eating the grass. Hey, what are my 10 cows doing here? According to what all the people told me, they died in a fire in the barn. And all of a sudden, my 10 cows are in the yard. Yeah, those are my 10 cows. He looked on the horns. Yosef, his name is on the horns. And he comes into his house. He knocks on the door. And the kiddies come. Ah, oh, daddy's home, daddy's home. And his wife comes to the door. Oh, Yosef, Baruch Hashem. How is your Shabbos, my Reb Chaim Meir? It's so good to see you. And the kiddies are jumping up and down, giving Tati a big kush. And he told them all about the Shabbos. And he told them about Moitzi Shabbos, lighting his Rebbe's pipe. And then his wife said, Yosef, it's very interesting. How many times did you light the pipe of Reb Chaim Meir? Well, he says, well, the first time I went to the fireplace and I brought the paper and it went out. It was burning, but it went out. The second time I went to the fireplace and I brought the paper and it went out again. Until Reb Chaim Meir said, go to the big can and take out a big piece of paper. I got a big fire and I went all the way to his pipe and I lit his pipe. And his wife said, Yosef, did you hear what happened last night by the barn of the Pirates? Yeah, yeah, what happened? Well, everybody says, and I saw it myself, there was one big lightning, a big fire coming out of the sky, and then all of a sudden there was a second big lightning, and then a little while later, It seems at the same time that you're lighting your Rebbe's pipe, there was a big third lightning. It hit the barn, and the whole barn caught on fire. It seems it was exactly the same time that you were lighting your Rebbe's pipe with a fire from the fireplace with a burning paper. Oh. So how come if all the cows got burned up? Yosef says, how are our 10 cows in the yard if all the cows got burned up in the fire? Well, his wife said, everybody came out of their houses to look at the fire and try to help bring water also. All of a sudden, coming down the hill was some kind of a farmer or a peasant, some kind of a person that I never saw before, and behind him was the 10 cows. And he brought them to my house. He brought them to our house. I didn't know who this man was. Looked like some kind of a Goyish peasant who was just from the street. I said, how did you get the 10 cows? He said, I was up on the hill. All of a sudden there was this big fire and the cows, you know, they start to get very excited. And I saw the whole barn was going up in fire. It was full of hay. So I said, I have to save whatever cows I could. I opened up the door from the barn and I got out the first 10 cows until the whole barn was full of fire. I had to run away. And I looked on the horns and I could read the name Yosef. And I knew your husband sells the milk in the marketplace. His name is Yosef. And I knew where he lived. So I brought the cows here. And so, Kinelach, Reb Yosef's cows were saved from the fire. And they were the only cows that were saved from the fire. In other words, not 1,000 cows got killed. 990 cows got killed. And 10 cows were saved. Which is very interesting that this person happened to be exactly at that place, exactly at that time, and happened to save exactly only Reb Yosef's cows. Now, do you think this was just some regular Goyish peasant that was on the hill late on that night of Maitzi Shabbos? Or maybe do you think this was somebody special who saved the cows? Who do you think it was?
Eliyahu HaNavi.
Well, it seems that it might have been Eliyahu HaNavi. And of course, Kinelach, the next day, Boris was not selling milk in the marketplace because Boris, his cows were all barbecued. And Igor was not selling milk. His cows were burnt up. And Vladimir was not selling milk. His cows were completely burnt up and gone. The only one selling milk, is Yosef. And there's a long line of people. And of course the price went way up. Milk, $5 a bottle. Oh yeah, we'll buy it. Here's $5, here, I'll give you 10. I need milk. And he has a long line of people buying his milk. And of course he paid the poorest the 50 cents. The poorest was crying, only 50 cents and you get to keep all the rest of the money. Of course that was the deal because the poorest also signed the paper. The price couldn't then go down, but the price couldn't go up either, right? And so Reb Yosef got to be, Baruch Hashem, a rich man. And he probably built his own castle. And everything worked out, Baruch Hashem, in the end. Now, this story starts with a story that just happened. And then we go into the story, a story starting a story, and then the story, and maybe another story at the end of the story. Last week, on a beautiful day in the playground, when I was the monitor watching the classes play, unfortunately, somebody came to me crying, and he said, "A boy is fighting with me. A boy is fighting with me." And I called the boy over who was fighting. And I said, "Were you fighting?" He says, "Yes." Well, at least he told the truth. I said, "Were you fighting with that boy?" Yeah, I was fighting with him. And it came into my mind, I don't know why, but I just said, listen, you want to fight? Go into a room by yourself, take a mirror, and find who's ever in the mirror there, and you could fight with him. Don't fight with somebody else, fight with who's ever in the mirror. And why did I tell him that? You know, like, you should fight with your own Yetzirah, but not, chas v'shalom, with somebody else. Well, I thought that was the end of that, but then all of a sudden, I read a story, and I said, oh, it's very interesting to read this story right after I said to the boy to go in a room alone with a mirror and to fight. Now you want to hear this story? I'll tell you this story. Now the strange thing is, I read the story that I'm going to tell you inside of a certain sefer. And on Shabbos, I was reading a completely different sefer, and I saw the story again. So it must be Hashkacha Pratis that I have to tell this story, because it keeps coming up wherever I go. There was a big tzaddik in the lach. Well, you know what? Before I tell the story, I'm going to tell you one more thing. Pretty soon after Pesach, we start saying Pirkei Avos. And one of the things in Pirkei Avos, it says, I'm going to tell you this now, so it's going to make the end of the story a little bit easier. Now listen very closely. It says, Yehi, it should be, Kavoid Chavercha, the honor of your friend, Chaviv Alecha, as important to you, Kishalach, as your own. Treat your friend as nicely as you would like to treat, like, treat your friend as nicely as you would like him to treat you. How many boys understand that? How do you like somebody to treat you? To treat you nicely, right? Yeah. So how should you treat somebody else? Nicely. Show respect. Don't you like people to respect you and to treat you nicely? Talk to you nicely. Do nice things for you. That's what you should do for somebody else. Shh. How do you like people to talk about you? You like people to say nice things about you? How should you talk about other people? Nicely. Who understands the meaning of Yehi Kavoid Chavercha Chaviv Alecha Kishalach? Who understands that? Now you're going to hear a completely different way in this story, which is very interesting. Now listen closely. Shh. There was a big tzaddik, you've heard his name, Reb Shmilke of Nikolsburg. Who heard of the big tzaddik? Reb Shmilke of Nikolsburg. Alright. This takes place the day that Reb Shmilke came to Nikolsburg, because he was not living before Nikolsburg. He was living somewhere else. Why did he come to Nikolsburg? Because they asked him to become the new Rav. Reb Shmilke was going to be the brand new Rav of Nikolsburg. I almost said Schmickelsburg, but it's Nikolsburg. Now, Kinalach, Reb Shmilke was brought in a beautiful wagon with beautiful horses to Nikolsburg, and everybody came out of their houses, and everybody got dressed up in their Shabbos clothes, and everybody was excited. They're going to have a new Rav, Reb Shmilke, and they wanted to show him kavod, honor, and make a Kabbalah's Panim, a special party that he was coming for the first time. And it was like a big yontif for the whole town of Nikolsburg. And the shul was beautifully set up with tables and food, like a chasana. And there was a head table, like by a wedding. And there was a special chair. And in that special chair was going to sit the new Rav, Reb Shmilke. And next to him, by the head table, important people were going to be there and make all kinds of speeches and say all kinds of good things about Reb Shmilke. Now, Kinalach, Reb Shmilke was an anav, a very humble man. He held himself low like a matzah. And he had no... He was not at all, chas v'shalom, a balgaiva or a big shot, chas v'shalom. He was a tzaddik. And when he was brought into the shul, and he saw the big party that was going to be, and all the important people were there, dressed up, and everybody was smiling at him, and everybody came out to see him. This had never happened to him before, that people made such a big deal. And he started to feel uncomfortable, because he knew all these speeches were going to be said, and people were going to make a big deal out of him. And he wasn't used to this, and it wasn't his kind of thing that he liked. So he asked the people before he goes to his chair, could I please go by myself in a room for a few minutes and then we'll start the Kabbalah's Panim? Of course, he appreciated what everybody was going to do, but you know, he didn't want to sit there in the special chair while everybody's making all these speeches and making a big deal out of him. So he said, can I please go into a room by myself for a few minutes and then we'll start? And they said, okay, sure, fine. We'll be glad to let you go by yourself in a room. And they found a room in the shul, down the hall. And over there in that room, Reb Shmuelka went in and he closed the door and he was in that room. And there was a certain person there that was very curious. What is he doing by himself in that room? Now, how many boys know that it's a very special thing to learn from what a tzaddik does? All right, now I'm not saying exactly if this is the best thing in the world to do, but of course there's a certain reason that this man did it. He wanted to go peeking through the keyhole to see what Reb Shmuelka is doing, because he had a good kavana, a good intention to learn what is the tzaddik doing alone in a room by himself. Now you shouldn't go spying on people, just stamazoi, and chas v'shalom, if a person wants to be by themselves, you don't just go and see what they're doing. But of course in this story, a special thing is happening with a tzaddik, and a special person who wants to learn from a tzaddik wants to peek through the keyhole. And there's stories that happen by different tzaddikim and different rebbeim. So there's a certain good thing about this, in this story anyway. And the man goes over and he peeks through the keyhole. He expects to see, well, who knows what he expected to see. But this is what he saw. And he sees Reb Shmuelka took his talis bag. And he took out a mirror that he probably used to straighten his tefillin. And he put the mirror on the table, leaning up against the wall. And he started speaking to himself. He says, the wonderful Reb Shmuelka, how wonderful you are. A big Talmud Chochem, a very smart man. And he's bowing down in front of the mirror. He's bowing to himself. And he's giving all kinds of honor to himself. Wonderful Reb Shmuelka, the new Rav, a big tzaddik, a big Talmud Chochem. Welcome to our town of Nicholsburg. You are going to take care of all the people. You're going to be so important. Now, the man who's looking at Reb Shmuelka, and the man looking in the keyhole, is very surprised because he knows Reb Shmuelka is an anav. He is a low, humble tzaddik. He is not a balgaiva. Why is he talking to himself in the mirror, telling himself how wonderful he is, and giving himself honor, and praising himself, how smart he is, and a big Talmud Chochem, and great and important? And he looks in the keyhole again. He thinks that, you know, maybe he's dreaming. Oh, you're such an important man. You're the Rav. Everybody looks up to you. Everybody is going to give you special honor. And everybody is going to be talking about you. And he's bowing down in front of the mirror. He's not like bowing to the mirror. He's just like bowing down, giving himself honor. Like, If you go to an important person, you might sort of bow in front of them. Or that's the way they do to the queen or the king, bowing in front of an important person. And he's really seeing it. Reb Shmuelka is talking to himself in the mirror, giving himself kavod. Well, kinalach, then Reb Shmuelka put away the mirror and he just sat down and he was quiet, like he was thinking. And then after a few minutes, Reb Shmuelka came out of the room and he was ready to go to the Kabbalah Panim party. As soon as Reb Shmuelka came out of the room and he's ready to go to his place, and this person that was looking in the keyhole was very curious to find out why in the world Reb Shmuelka was doing that. But he decided he's going to wait till after the Kabbalah Panim. Because now Reb Shmuelka goes to his place. And sure enough, kinalach, speeches start. Different people give speeches and they're praising the greatness of their new Rav, Reb Shmuelka. And they're telling people how much he learns and how many mitzvahs he does and how he davens. And they're so thankful to him for the Rav and all these speeches, and there's food on the table. And the man that was looking through the keyhole notices that Reb Shmuelka is just sitting there, not like he's all proud of himself, and not like he's all full of his own, you know, greatness. He's sitting there like an anav, like a humble person. And it was very curious because, you know, before he was sitting in front of the mirror making speeches like you hear now, even more speeches. Now he's sitting very quietly like he's not really enjoying it at all. How would you feel if everybody is giving speeches about how wonderful you are? Well, maybe you're going to feel good about it. Look, you know, people are talking about me. They're saying how great I am. And everybody, there's hundreds of people sitting there listening. After the Kabbalah's Panim was done, this Yid decided to go to Reb Shmuelka and he asked him, listen, I must admit that when you were in the room by yourself, you weren't really by yourself, I was watching you. And I saw what you did in front of the mirror. Can you please tell me why you did that? And Reb Shmuelka smiled and he says, now this is very interesting if you want to listen. You have to listen very closely. Reb Shmuelka says, I was afraid. I was very worried that when I'm going to hear speeches, you know, I knew when I walked into the shul and I saw the special place set, like for a chasana with a main chair and all the food and hundreds of people and all the important people dressed up and everybody dressed up in their Shabbos clothes. I know they're going to make speeches talking about me. And I didn't want to chas v'shalom feel myself in any way to be a bal gaiva or a big shot or a Mr. Metzius man. To feel proud of myself and to feel all good about myself, because that's gaiva. And a person should not be in any which way a bal gaiva. A person should not be a big shot in any way, a bal gaiva or a gas ruach. So Reb Shmuelka says, I was worried what's going to happen because I never was in such a way that I became a rav somewhere and people are going to make all these speeches. I was worried the way I'm going to feel. I only wanted to feel thanks to Hashem and in no way to feel a geschmack in all of the praises and speeches. So I had an idea. I went into the room, I took out a mirror, and I started talking to myself. I started praising myself. Now, when a person praises himself, if you're alone in your own room, in front of a mirror, and you're telling yourself how good you are, do you have any geschmack from that?
No.
Does that feel good?
No.
Do you have a pleasure telling yourself in the mirror how good you are?
No.
No. If other people, especially hundreds of other people, are excited about you and telling you how good you are, from that you might get a geschmack, a feeling. But if you're talking to yourself, and you're looking in a mirror, and nobody is hearing you, and you're telling yourself how good you are, do you have anything from that?
No.
Or it's ridiculous?
No.
So, Reb Shmuelka said, it says in Pirkei Avos, now you have to listen to this closely or else you won't get it. Okay, now Reb Shmuelka is going to explain a very interesting thing. It says in Pirkei Avos, Yehi kavoid chavercha chaviv alecha kishalach. Now that means, the honor of your friend should be on you like your own honor. Now, that means two things. The regular thing and Reb Shmuelka's brand new thing. How should you treat, how should you honor another person? The way you like people to treat you good, that's how you should treat other people, right? You like when people treat you nicely. So how should you treat other people? Nicely. That's the simple meaning. The kavod of your friend. You should be careful not to make him feel bad, because you don't like people to make you feel bad. And you like when people make you feel good, make him feel good. Isn't that what it means? The honor of your friend should be in your own eyes like your own honor, right? Yehi kvoid chavercha, the honor of your friend, chaviv, is important. Alecha kishalach, on you like your own. Who understands the simple meaning? You honor your friend like your own honor. Reb Shmuelka explained it backwards. He says, the honor I'm going to get from my friends, the people by the big party, they're going to honor me from all the people. Of course, you know, they're being very nice to me. They're my friends. They're giving me honor. How should I feel about it? Like my own honor. What means like my own honor? Like I go in the room by myself and I'm going to honor myself. That's how I should feel when all my friends honor me. How do I feel when I go into a room and I honor myself? What do I feel? Nothing, right? So, when my friends honor me, it should be just like when I honor myself. I prepared myself for all the speeches and all the honor by first honoring myself in front of a mirror, and I'm saying to myself, this is worth nothing. This does not make me feel anything at all. So by the time I got to my special chair in front of hundreds of people and all these important people are making speeches about me, I felt the same way. The honor for my friends was like my own honor. It didn't mean anything. It didn't feel special at all. It was like I was